Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. All right, welcome back to your Spiritual Besties. This is Lauren and Rashida. How are you doing today? What's going on?
Hey, just living life, having fun.
What are you doing for fun?
You know, today I decided to, instead of just doing my normal restorative yoga practice, I got a little booty yoga in, and that includes like some primal movements and some just really freeing and opening things in the yoga practice. So it felt good. It felt good today.
Nice. I love that. Booty yoga is so fun. I'm like a vinyasa yogi, but it's really nice every once in a while to get some of those spirals and like ground slapping and
yes,
all of that in there.
Queen. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
It feels so good. I've been sick the last few days, so I have to move every day. It's like what keeps my mind healthy and happy. And I usually take walks with Gemma and do my yoga practice and stuff, but I've been like not doing that the last few days because my body's needed more rest. And I think today I will commit to some like yin yoga or restorative yoga or just something to get some of this energy moving through my body and clear some space. Today's episode, we are bringing on a guest for coaching. So as we've talked about, Rashida and I are both soul purpose and spiritual life coaches. And today we've brought on one of my good friends, full disclosure, Melody, who is here. And we're going to learn a little bit about Melody, what's going on. And Rashida and I are here to support her. So Melody, welcome to the pod, and we'd love for you to start off by introducing yourself.
Thank you guys for having me, first of all. I'm really, really happy to be here, excited to jump on board with all the things that you guys are creating this year. They're really special. So just getting that out of the way. But I'm Melody. I am a yoga instructor and a mom. I've lived all over, but I'm currently in Mississippi along the Gulf Coast. And yeah, that's a big part of it. I like to move by doing yoga. I like to walk a lot. I spend a lot of time picking up a very heavy toddler and setting him back down.
We don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, you guys can't relate at all. I feel like I've spent the fair amount of my physical movement these days is around like rolling cars and carrying a baby.
I love it. So Melody, before we really get into it, we'd love to know what would be like your ideal outcome from this time together today?
Sure. I came into this really and truly not knowing what to expect. And I'm not going to lie, I was having a little bit of anxiety about that this morning. But the more I sat with it, and full disclosure, did text Lauren about it a little bit before this. I really decided to come to it as being open and being as prepared as I can be to be unprepared, honestly and truly, and to let that be my mental capacity for the space that I want to receive. I think at the end of the day, that's my goal. I'm here to receive a little bit of insight and a little bit of knowledge and hopefully finish this call and finish this coaching session feeling a little more aligned, feeling heard, and feeling confident and capable in myself for trying something new.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that between the three of us, we can do that. And just know you deserve to receive, and we're here for that today. Before we get into like questions and things like that, I love to start, and I know Rashida does too, coaching with a little bit of just getting into the body, going inward, and kind of asking yourself what you need from a very internal space. So If it's okay with you, I'll guide you through a short meditation and then we can go from there. Does that sound good?
Of course, yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, awesome. So if you feel comfortable closing your eyes, you're welcome to. Otherwise, just let them soften. You might find a nice tall posture where the spine is aligned. You can root through your seat and lift through the crown of your head. Notice the forehead, allow it to soften. Notice your jaw, and if it's clenched, invite in a little bit of softness and space there. Feel openness through the chest. And take a moment to scan your physical body and notice where you feel comfort. And also notice where you feel any discomfort. What is talking to you? And as you scan your physical body, I invite you to tune in to the place that needs the most support. So that might be the place physically where you're feeling the most discomfort or even some pain, or maybe something just feels off. So go into that space and I'll invite you to take a few really deep, slow breaths, letting your belly, your ribs, and your chest expand outward as you inhale and letting them soften inward as you exhale. So internally, as you tune into this space, ask it what it needs. And you might hear a response from it. You might feel like a physical feeling. You might get a visual. What does this space of discomfort or even pain have to tell you? What does it need? How can it be heard? And how can it be tended to? Maybe it's physical, maybe it's energetic, emotional. What does it need to feel supported, healthy, and relaxed? And then I invite you to take a moment to tune into your third eye. So, between the eyebrows on the forehead, this is your center for intuition and higher wisdom. And as you breathe deeply, invite this space to become clear, open, and give yourself permission to truly listen to what comes through this space today. Also know that as we work together, that you are fully supported by your spirit team, angels, guides, your highest self, however you define that. And we'll finish with a cleansing breath in through the nose and out of the mouth. And Melody, you can let your eyes open, let your body move however it needs to. And I would love to know in that space what came up for you.
But thank you. That was really beautiful and really helpful. And I think even already, right, we're 4 minutes in, and I feel like we've already done some good work. So I appreciate that. I've actually been dealing with a lot of chronic pain around my SI and piriformis and psoas. Since about April of this year, we had a lot of back-to-back travel and a lot of time in cars and on airplanes, just like every weekend, 6-hour road trips for a couple weeks in a row. And I think everything just kind of like seized up from the travel. And I've spent the last 8 months like just trying to get myself back in order, and I've been struggling with it. And I feel like I've been seeing chiropractors and physical therapists and going to the urgent care. It got so bad, and having massages and just like doing all the things that I know how to do and asking all the questions that I know how to ask and still not really having a lot of relief from that. And so in the meditation, asking, giving in and asking my sacrum what it needed from me. And the answer that came through loud and clear was compassion. And then diving into that was the, like, just stop trying to muscle it, stop trying to force it to feel better, because I think I'm probably making it worse because I keep agitating it and I keep trying to work harder to get it stronger or to stretch deeper to release it further, or, and I'm vacillating between those two kind of functionalities of, well, if I can't stretch it away, maybe I can strengthen it away. And I'm tugging at it all the time. And clearly that's not working. So I think, yeah, just hearing to offer myself a little more compassion and a little more grace and to allow space for healing to happen without me having to be in control of it, I think.
I wanted to offer for anyone who's listening that the sacrum is the five fused bones at the base of the spine, and SI is the sacroiliac joint, so where your sacrum and pelvis meet. And there is a joint there. It's not really meant to move much, but it does if you become pregnant and if you give birth, especially vaginally, the hips widen for that. So I say that just because I know Melody has a toddler, and that certainly can agitate that specific area. Yeah, Rashida, I know you've got questions.
Well, Melody, I actually just wanted to know, you said your sacrum told you to have compassion. And do you find it hard for yourself to give yourself compassion, to be easy with yourself? What is the relationship between you and your body?
I mean, it ebbs and flows, right? I think, and everyone can attest to that, but that your relationship with yourself or with your body ebbs and flows. I think after the birth of my son, it wasn't great. I ended up in an emergency C-section. It wasn't planned. I wasn't prepared for that. And I had a lot of guilt and shame around that. And so then I've started to feel very disconnected from my body. And then, as you both know, you lose a lot of your autonomy in motherhood. And I think that was a lot for me to come to terms with, because I was used to having a lot of physical autonomy and I was used to understanding my body in very clear ways. And I feel like that slate just got, like, wiped out, right? And now suddenly my body wasn't just for me anymore. Someone else was depending on it all the time. And while there's such beauty and grace and joy in that, it was also really hard mentally for me to come back around and to be like, oh, wait, like, I do not have a lot of physical autonomy right now. And so working through that was a struggle, but I felt like I was on the upswing of things. And then whenever this injury happened or this agitation happened, I just feel like I lost it. All of a sudden I was like, oh, like, why can't I just feel good? I think I've probably said that once a week for the past 8 months. Like, why can't I just feel good in my body and feel strong and capable like I used to? And for me, I think that's the phrase that I have to catch myself on, because nothing is like it used to be. And that's okay. That's beautiful. And that's good. And I'm happy that nothing's like it used to be. But my brain needs to catch up, I think, to my own spiritual knowledge in that way. Of that it's okay.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I want to know, what are some times or things that you're doing, or just, you can just name a few activities that you do feel good? Like, when is it that you don't even think about this thing that's happening within your body?
Like taking a bath always feels good for sure. Like anytime I can kind of like we were speaking to earlier, anytime I can kind of get out of my own head and get out of my own way and not give it a whole lot of attention. Like if I can get really engrossed in a book, or if I can tap into that sensation of meditation where you feel like you're floating, if I can. Honestly, a lot of times when I'm teaching, it's really easy for me to drop into that and to just like step away from myself and let my focus be on the students and on the class and on the experience. And so I think those are the moments when I can not obsess, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Okay, thank you for that. So, we all here have given birth and had babies, just like you. My first pregnancy turned into an emergency C-section. Like, BP shot up. They were like, it's now or never type deal.
Yep.
And my daughter
Yeah.
was like chilling as a cucumber. She was fine. She wasn't ready to come out, but my body was like, yes. And I
Same, very
had,
similar.
yes. And when that happened, I also, too, had a range of emotions that happen. What's wrong with me? Why didn't my body do what it's I'm using air quotes, supposed to
Yes.
do? And then also, too, like I had a lot of sciatic pain, a lot of issues on that right side and that SI joint and all the, like my hip, even now, it does not feel quote unquote normal. But like you were saying, when we learn to tap into the things that feel good for us when we're in the moment, when we're mothering, when we are being this new version of ourselves, we kind of get out of our own way. And I think you inherently know that for yourself to be true. And so I invite you to kind of celebrate your accomplishment right now. Like you birthed a child. You brought this soul into the world. And that's not easy. It's not easy. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, women have babies all the time. And yes, this is true, but it's still, this process is not easy. And some of us don't come out of it with, I don't want to say a clean slate, but our bodies feel what happened. Our birthing stories, there was trauma behind that. And our bodies hold on to that trauma sometimes. And we do have to do the work of healing and cleansing, but when you use a hammer to do that, you're not really gonna heal and cleanse, right?
Yeah, right. And I think that's the perfect analogy. Like that's where my mind was at, where I was like, we need to tear down the building and start over.
Yes.
Burn it down, begin again.
I'd love to go back to compassion. And, there's this alchemy in compassion because it's not just sending love to something, it's like true understanding. And in that understanding is like recognizing the grief and sadness that you're feeling and that you've felt, and like infusing that with love and sending that. To your pelvis or to your sacral
Yes.
and to yourself as a whole. Do you think that you've one had a chance to like really grieve your former life? I feel like as mothers, like that's almost taboo, right? Because like we appreciate and love our children so much, we can't imagine our lives without them. That like it feels really selfish or even shameful to like maybe go back and honor and grieve your life before that, where you had more autonomy and more control. Because shit, you don't have a lot of control after kids come.
You just did,
And
yeah.
yeah, we get initiated into that with birth, right? Because
Yes.
we don't know how it's going to go, and we try to let our bodies do our thing, but there's just no guarantee. So yeah, I'm wondering if you've maybe had a chance to formally grieve that, and also like both celebrate and grieve, right? Because that's the compassion, your actual birthing process.
I feel like I have and I haven't. Like I did a fair amount of therapy after my son was born for postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety, and we did a lot of work about birth trauma and things like that and working through it. And while I feel like I've honored that space, I can tell that there's still more healing to be done and more grace to be given in those kind of ways. And yeah, a lot of it is like what you're speaking to of the former life. I was just having a conversation with a girlfriend because I didn't have my son till I was 31. And I was like, I really think like for your mental health, like you should have your babies when you're young because you don't know any better. You haven't had 30 years of life to have just disposable income and to have free time and understanding of you haven't gotten like locked into your ways of your routine and how you exist in this world. And now you have a baby and you're like, oh God, it's everything's different. Whereas, for better or worse, if you have a baby when you're 20, you're like, well, this is how it is. But I think that I have, as far as grieving my former life and my former self, I think I did a fair amount of that on a personal level of like okay, well, yeah, time with friends is different. Time with family is different. My own schedule is different because it's dependent upon another human now. I think this past year, 2022, I've focused a great deal on my work and my career. And I don't think that I have grieved what work looked like for me before my son versus now. And it's hard. It's really hard to work and take care of a child.
Thank you for mentioning that, because I feel sometimes when, and us being, I was in my 30s, I know Lauren was in her 30s when we all were in our 30s when we had our children. And you kind of look at these other moms, that comparison thing, right? And they have their babies and they're working and they're doing all the things and it looks easy. It looks put together. And a lot of times we don't think about what everyone's life is set up like, right? Like we see the outside of what's going on and we forget that, every family dynamic is different. I completely had to quit my job. And that was hard. I thought I was going to be a stay-at-home mom and I was going to do this thing and we were going to have together time all the time. And we did for a year, but it was rough. And I'm not going to say I'm not cut out to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm cut out to be a part-time stay-at-home mom because I do need that interaction. I need to work. I need to feel these things that light me up because I have had 33 years, now 36 years of having all those things before. So when you talk about working and having your toddler is hard, but give me some specifics on like what exactly are the hard parts in that. I know there's a bunch, right? Logistics and all the things, but when you tune into like what's really like causing you a little like pain and sadness, like what is that?
I mean, I think logistics definitely, hands down, right? Like those things are difficult. It's on the day to day, it's that my time, like me being on time to work, is dependent upon how quickly a 2-year-old chooses to buckle his own car seat. And
All listening, like we are looking at each other like this does not happen within like the 2 minutes you would think. Like this is a 10-minute process. So, Melody, sorry, go
yes.
ahead.
Yeah, no, like that is like I'm really having to spend some time getting my brain wrapped around that, right? Where it's like I and by nature am very re punctual and I try to be very respectful of other people's time and respectful of my own time, and you guys know and understand all of that. And when your time is dependent upon a tiny human choosing which shirt he wants to wear, or that he absolutely can't leave the house yet because he has to line up 6 more cars, or whatever it is, that those moments can be really frustrating and really overwhelming. And I think it does come back to that like autonomy thing where I had a good long life where I got to be where I wanted to be at the time I wanted to be there. And that's not necessarily the case in my path right now. But on the grand scheme of things too, it's all of it, right? It's him crying when I drop him off so I can go to work because he doesn't want me to leave him. Even though I know he's going to have the best time and he loves his little preschool and he loves his teachers and he loves his friends. And he cries when I pick him up because he's not ready to come home. But it doesn't heart stop the biological, hormonal, energetic response to your baby crying and saying, no, don't go, right? And then, so one, having to process frustration because you didn't leave the house in time, and then process guilt and shame because now you're leaving your child. And then to have to work through that or turn it off and go to work and guide other people through their healing journey. And then you get the chance to like, okay, now how can I even regulate myself and work through everything that happened over the last 5 hours because I haven't had a quiet moment until just now. And I think that is really the crux of it for me is the emotional roller coaster that the days kind of turned into. And when and how do you give yourself the space and time to process that and work through it?
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, how old is Miles?
He'll be 3 in February. So he is a sh he's 2 3/4.
Yeah. Fun
How
age.
many months is that?
Yeah.
40.
Yes. So, Lauren, before I go, do you have anything you would like to?
I'd love to know like what rituals you do have. I mean, it's so hard to like talk about this with moms, especially like in the wellness and self-care world. They're like, just do this and blah blah blah. And it's like, bitch,
It's
I
not
have
that
5 minutes.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
Like, what do I do in that amount of time?
Yeah.
So right now, what do you have built into your day? Let's say like in the drive between dropping Miles off and getting to the studio to teach. Do you have ritual to like process your emotions or to get yourself in the space to serve others?
Yeah, for me, it's just about like getting quiet again. And I try to turn off the radio and just like be in my own thoughts and in my own space for that amount of time while I can. Other days it's definitely like calling my husband and crying and being
Good,
like, everything's
good.
hard.
Yeah,
But
that's.
the daily rituals are what's hard for me. And I think a lot of it is that my schedule is different every single day, as is the nature of our profession. And so it's hard to know for a fact that every day I'll get the same thing. Whereas it's like on Wednesdays, I've got so much time and I can, leisurely and take care of myself and do a practice and meditate and blah, 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 blah. But I think finding more small pockets of space on the daily as opposed to big pockets of space on the weekly would probably serve me.
My other question is about approach. So, how do you think you could invite in amongst the craziness, more softness and ease?
I think the word approach is perfect, and that's something I think about a lot of. It's my own mental attitude that's making things feel more overwhelming or more out of control or whatever it is. And when I can start the day with that mindset and say, like, hey, look, I understand nothing's in my control, and we're all just going to do the best we can, and that's okay. The days are much easier, for sure. It's the days that you wake up and you're like, I have 100 things to do and I have 4 calls and I have to get it all done during nap time. And then the baby chooses that day to not want to take a nap. And then suddenly, suddenly the world comes crashing down and it's because I needed it not to, right? Like really and truly. But when I can understand that I need to come at it with a sense of ease, we have better days. And maybe that's it, right? Maybe that's it. I need to set a morning ritual to really remind myself of that on the daily.
Yeah, I actually was going to suggest that, because you said, you know, I can tell myself I need to be open and I need to be expansive and easy, but, you know, are you actually embodying that feeling? And when you get into those moments, what are you doing? Are you spiraling, or are you, even with the crying, even with the, I got to hop on this call in 5 minutes, do you tap into that feeling of ease and allowance? And then you can pivot. What do you find yourself doing in those exact moments that these things happen? Because it's easy when it's an easy day, right? It's easy when it's an easy day. So the challenge, it seems like, is really taking what we learn from our easy days and bring it into the days that aren't so easy. Mm-hmm. So what are some things that you can do to, you know, give yourself that little boost up when those challenging times come? Because they're going to keep rolling in, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah. No, and I think you're so right. And the word spiral is spot on, because that's exactly what I do. It's so easy to latch on to the idea that this moment is now forever, and that the pain and the stress and the discomfort of this second are going to be forever from here on out. And I think maybe that's my question for you guys. What can I do? Because I don't know. And then I beat myself up for not knowing. This is where we get like tricky, because I work in this industry. I feel like I know all the tools. I feel like I know to take a deep breath. I know to use my diaphragm. I know to downregulate. I know to move my body, to meditate. Like, the tips and the tricks are there in my brain. And I haven't figured out how to integrate that into my full being yet.
And Melody, guess what? You know that from your own personal, like being just you by yourself and being married, right? Like that's mm-hmm. where you know those things. That's where you've been able to practice those things. You right now are in the practicing. Yeah. You are right now in the doing. You know, when you said something about, you know, I have to get him in the car and then I have to go to the class, then I have to heal, you know, talk about healing with these people. Something came through for me. Like, she doesn't really feel like she should be doing this because she doesn't totally feel healed.
Yeah, there's definitely that for sure.
Yeah. However, you know, and have known how to do these things and how to pass this healing on to others because you have been in the doing of it pre-baby. Right. And like Lauren mm-hmm. said before, sometimes we don't grieve that past life of us, but know that we are truly have truly stepped through a threshold. We have brought mm-hmm. a soul through us into this world. And there's something that happens within our body and our persona and our whole way of being. It's different. Things are different. Yeah. We are no longer that same person. So right now, if you take the approach of, I know all the things right now, and I'm mad because I can't do them, or I don't know how to do them, this is your practice time. Really and truly, like, you get to practice. Mm-hmm. Okay, Melody, that did not work. That obviously did not go well today. I got a little frustrated. I forgot to breathe. I forgot to just take that moment. I evaluated that. What can I do tomorrow? Because ultimately, you want to be the best version of yourself for your son. You want to be the best version of yourself for you, your family. So we have to work on that. And us being older, we know how we were before. It's relearning these things that we already know, but in a different way.
Yeah.
How is that landing for you?
No, I think that's spot on and exactly right. But I love the phrasing of it's a practice and that we're just relearning and that's okay. It brings me back to, I had a teacher, and I remember after I had my son, and you step away from your practice for a while, and then 2020 and COVID happened, and then I was away for much longer than I anticipated. And I was talking about having to start over from scratch. And my teacher said, "Well, it's not from scratch, it's from experience. You're not starting at zero. You've done this before. Like, it's okay." And whenever we were moving from Texas to Mississippi, that's something I kept telling myself, because I was in my head a lot about having to find a new job and to find new classes and to just like do it all again, right? And I kept having to remind myself of like, you're not starting from scratch, you're starting from experience. You've been doing this for a long time. You're good at what you do. Like, things are okay. And it hasn't occurred to me to apply that to like my own personal well-being, that
Yeah.
same role.
Melody, I want to add, so you are an amazing yoga teacher. You're magnetic. People are drawn to you and what you have to say. You know how to navigate like a yoga class and to guide people through discomfort, through that, through finding their strength, through finding their softness. And they do those things not because like we just do them in yoga. They do those things because it's practicing for life off of the mat. Additionally, so you have this like wise teacher voice inside of you. You also have, you've gone from maiden to mother. Like Rashida said, you've crossed that threshold. So for me, the approach a lot of times, and not that I do this perfectly, I certainly have days where I spiral, but for me is like there is an overriding voice that you can command in your mind or let be the loudest, let's say, that is that guide, that is your mother. I call it the mother of my mind. When things are spiraling and chit chat, blah, 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 I can be like, hey, oh, I see right now that things are really hard. Like, and from a place of compassion, like, what's your best approach? Like, how can you breathe through this discomfort? Like, all the things that I would tell my daughter, all the things that I would tell students on the mat, I can be that for me. And like, you can be that for you. It's a matter of like bringing her to the forefront.
I love that. Thank you for that. That's, yeah, it's really helpful.
Yeah. And I know that, people say like talk to yourself like you would your best friend or this or that, but like you can be a mother to yourself. You can be that inner mother or wise woman, and talk to your maiden when she's feeling unseen or when you're grieving her from the place of the mother.
No,
It's
that's super
beautiful,
powerful.
woman.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you feeling in this moment?
I feel good. Yeah, no, I feel good. I'm feeling incredibly heard. I'm happy to discuss these things with people who get it, if that makes sense. Like, from a commonality perspective, I'm very lucky to have very close female friendships, and most of my female friends are mothers. And so there's that connection. But to be mothers in this industry, to be mothers at the same point in your life, to be mothers who are also business owners, who are also self-employed, who are also just like all of the layers of it, it's really nice to hear and to see and to connect with.
Absolutely. I know for me, that was a big piece of one, me stepping into my purpose. I was seeking community. I would join all of these mom groups, right? And there was just something that was missing from them. And not to say that there's anything wrong with that, but when you get into a place, like for instance, Lauren, she said to me after I had Miles, we caught up and she said, "Rashida, I'd love to know your birth story." And, really being able to just release that energy to be seen and heard, there's something powerful in that. And so knowing that, when you have these moments, having that support system, maybe, it's not always about the talking about the kids, because, that happens often for us, right? But just being able to have, an every other Monday or a Monday that you just call a particular girlfriend and say, "Hey, can we chat about this? What are your thoughts?" because you can release that. So often we feel like we have to have it together. Like we are the mom. We have to keep it together. We have to have that brave face, but we have to have some points in time where we can release all that too, to be able to work through those moments that we have the frustration and lose our patience and all the things, to be able to process and integrate. Like we have to have all those pieces in place for ourselves. And that's just another way of supporting you, supporting you and your family.
Yeah, I think I did want to bring up, you know, as we're coaching today, that our modern society, the way it's set up, it's not built to support mothers. It's really not. And so we have to carve that out for ourselves. We have to find it for ourselves because no one's handing it to us. So like Rashida said, having that time to connect to, I don't want to say vent necessarily, but just to be real. You know, when you're a mom and you're a business owner and you're holding space for other people, like there, that is so much of like being in the role of leader, of like having to be in control, of having to know how to fix everyone's problems. As I'm saying this, my 2-year-old's trying to take her pants off and asking for help. You know, that it can be hard to be in that like softer, more vulnerable space of receiving because we don't have a lot of space for that. So if we have like reciprocal relationships with women or people that we respect, where we can give that to each other, like, wow, what a beautiful thing. It's so needed. And our partners can provide that for us, but it's different, right?
It's so different.
It is. Yeah.
And they can be great and they can look at you with all the understanding and all of the love, but there's just something that you don't get when you get into your group of mothers that feel you, that see you, like that know, like without a shadow of a doubt, like you know this, you're living this.
Because it is, it's in the really small day-to-day moments that tend to fall upon the mother, right? It's the needing to take off your 2-year-old's pants for them while you're working. Like,
yeah, she's down to her diaper now. I don't know why she wants to be undressed, but you know,
it's the full moon, I think. It's
probably. Oh my god, can we talk about these like small spirit babies born
so
in or around the pandemic who, like, who are so connected to whatever's going on astrologically.
No, last night my son made us go outside. He was like, I want to look at the moon. And we had to go outside and he stood in the driveway and he howled like a wolf and then took off running. And I was like, it's charging him. Oh God, it's charging him.
But I want to say, like, the sacrifice that you have had to make, you know, in sacrificing the maiden for the mother in a hard, hard time, because you had Miles right before like lockdowns, moving, like you have dealt with so much change. That this, like what you have given, like you are birthing a whole new world because these kids are going to be so equipped because of what we have gone through and what we're passing down to them. And like, oh man, it's such a beautiful thing. And it's so freaking hard right now, but like, wow, you are doing like amazing work. And we talk about giving to the world. We talk about purpose or dharma. Like, let's talk about the amount of purpose and dharma in like doing the very best we can to raise these sensitive little souls.
And to do the very best we can to keep them sensitive for as long as we can.
Absolutely.
Right. Like, I want him to stay so receptive and so in tune for as long as he can.
And that's the guiding light. I've shared this with Lauren before. I remember saying, I just don't want to dim her light. I don't want to dim her light. I don't want to turn her into what society says she needs to be. I want her to have that space to be able to really like be who she's supposed to be and not this version that everyone expects. And so for me, I know as a mom, those are how I make my decisions when I'm dealing with her. And when I feel a certain way in a certain moment, is this action going to light her up or is this action going to dim her? And that has been like my saving grace and what I tend to hold on to or let go as far as being a mom and parenting as well. So really finding that anchor.
Yes. No, that's totally fair. I think about that a lot too, because Miles has big, big feelings. He's, you know, he's a Pisces sun and a Pisces moon, and he just is a big feelinged baby. And as much as that is for me to carry a lot of the time, I don't ever want him to feel like he can't have feelings. And I think about him in 20 or 30 years being a Black man in this world, and I want him to know that his feelings are important and special and valuable and honorable always. And so, kind of like you were saying, that's always my guiding light when he's in the middle of a meltdown or when he's upset because his car tipped over or his milk spilled, whatever it is, right? But it's never about quieting the crying. It's always about comforting the crying and making sure that there's a distinction between the two things.
I love that. Yeah, Melody, that's
and
so
now
beautiful.
That I said that out loud, maybe I should do that to myself. I finished that sentence and was like, man, I never do that for my own crying. Great.
I want to add some perspective. Like, it's hard work because I think our generation is tasked with healing both ourselves and, you know, parenting in a way from that healed place. And I was kind of chuckling when you're talking about like wishing you were 20 having a baby because then you don't know any better.
Right.
But, you know, when you don't know any better, that means you're also parenting from like unconscious patterns
yes.
and trauma and like whatever your parents did. But you're tasked with like, yeah, healing yourself and then providing that space for your child in a world that is not always safe for him. And I just want to commend you for that. This is kind of a silly comparison, but I think about how our generation has to like both pay off massive student loans while saving for college for our kids because we don't want them to have massive student loan debt, you know? But
right.
It's like that with like
yeah.
the karma and the trauma too.
Yeah. And it's the same, like paying into Social Security, understanding that like Social Security is not going to exist when we're 60. So
yeah.
Great.
So it's fucking hard. It just is. So yeah. Like, where can you find more ease? Where can you give yourself a break? Where can you drop a ball here and there? And where can you be more compassionate with yourself?
Yeah.
This isn't a sprint. It's a marathon.
It's true, though. I was just having that conversation actually with my husband also of the like, how boring would it be if we reached the finish line at 35? And then what would I do? You know, like, what would my life be for the next 50 or 60 years if I was done?
Absolutely.
And instead, really embracing that marathon mindset of, yeah, it's okay to slow down. It's okay to receive. It's okay to have a little grace and compassion and to not get it all done perfectly every single time right now.
That's so true. And you have everything you need. You know that. You definitely know that. And just how this conversation flowed when we asked you, you know, what you needed, and it started off with the pain in your body and how it's come to this, you know, that's really, you know, maybe the part that you need to focus on. And give yourself a little bit of more of that compassion, that ease and that grace, right? And give yourself that time to heal, you know, that as well
yeah.
as what's going on in the body.
And I am a firm believer that it's not separate. So hopefully one will beget the other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't forget that healing, like it can come from effort. Yes. But especially when it comes to the body, it comes with rest and time and like nourishment. And Melody deserves all the nourishment. I know being a parent. The rest is like, we'll see if that happens or not.
We'll do what we can. But you're right. Nourishment is something that can be done, something you have control over. So.
Yeah. Melody, how are you feeling in this moment? I just want to touch in and see if you are feeling called to speak to anything else or if you're feeling complete in this conversation.
I feel good. I do. I've got like the little tiny mom guilt of the, man, we spent this whole time just talking about babies. Ain't that the way it goes, right? But I think something that I had been thinking about, especially as we're at the end of the year, or seemingly the end of the year, and with the final full moon and with everything of like what I want my next year to look like. And I think for me, a lot of that is about like stepping into alignment and stepping into integration and being able to integrate all the different facets of myself. I like to give myself a word of the year or a phrase of the year every year. And last year's, or this past year's, 2022's, was to remember that I'm multifaceted, that I'm not just a mother, right? And I think I did that, and I leaned really deeply back into work and things like that. And now in this month specifically, I'm feeling like I have the facets, but they're very disjointed. I'm a mom, I'm a teacher, you know what I mean? And I haven't figured out how to integrate it all yet. And so I think from just curious, from your perspective, if you have tips or tricks or advice, anything to share along those lines of being able to merge your world so that you can feel a little more whole and a little more connected.
So I'm going to go before Lauren goes, if you don't mind, Lauren. And I say this because I am into my second child, I have a second child who's 4 months. And when I think back to this very question that I asked myself, how do I put it all together and make it flow? It's really up to you and your family, in my opinion, because each child is different and each child is going to need something. When I thought about when I raised Macy and doing something like this, it would have been very easy for me to do that. Just the type of baby she was, I could kind of keep her on her own and do my own thing. And we just worked really well together. But my son, it's not happening. I have to carve out that space for myself to be able to do the things that I want to do and not feel bad that, you know, Macy, I kept her here for a year. And with him, I said, you know what? You're good, kid. We got this for 2 days out of the week. You're going to hang out with some really cool people. And so one, not having the guilt around that, but that's how I'm integrating all the things that I want to do because I'm still a person. I'm a mom and a mom in this and a mom in that. And just making sure that for me, my kids are safe and what I do with them. And then also knowing how my family dynamic works. For me, I can't have Miles here and have a conversation. First of all, Lauren will tell you, he wants to take over the conversation. It's not fun. So it's just one of those things, like really thinking about having some time to sit with, okay, what is going to work with me being home with Miles? We both have the same name for our sons. And
they sound incredibly similar.
Yes.
Temperament.
And what's going to work and what doesn't. And, you know, being able to see what others are doing and kind of dabbling in that. Does that work for me? Does that not work for me? And if it doesn't work, that's okay. That doesn't mean anything's wrong. You know, knowing that there's nothing wrong with it not working. It's just that you haven't found the actual thing yet. And maybe you're meant to be the one that comes up with that integration.
Yeah.
For not only you and your family, but others as well. Lauren?
Yeah. To me, it looks like compromise and showing up imperfectly. So right now I'm recording a podcast while my daughter is running around naked and watching TV. you know, I've relied like on screens more than I thought I would as a mom. And Rashida's right. Like every kid is different. So figuring it out is going to be different for everyone.
you know, with my Gemma, like if she could crawl back into my womb, she would. Like that's how attached she is. And it's been, you know, I thought maybe there would be a regular babysitter or childcare what on the table, but you know, it's been a lot of work just for her to feel comfortable, like being alone with her own dad without me here, even though he's amazing. So I've figured out a way to still be in my like purpose work-wise while also being with her all the time. And it requires a lot of compromise and a lot of shifting and change. It doesn't look like teaching a bunch of classes inside the yoga studio anymore because the majority of my work has to be from home. But Melody, I definitely have like some career ideas for you if you ever want to talk on that level.
Please.
I mean, on top of being an amazing yoga teacher for adults, Melody is an incredible kids yoga teacher. And I definitely see you being able to like follow that avenue in a way that makes space for also being a mom and your family. So I don't want to get too deep into that in this podcast necessarily. But I'm happy to talk further about that.
Please do. I would love that. I would
Yeah.
really love that.
I have to say, like, having as much as the pandemic sucked, like it's really opened up our online world and like our work opportunities and possibilities as moms, as people who want to be at home spending time with our children, where you can make like online courses and you can teach over Zoom. And you know, all three of us are in different states in the US right now recording this. And you know, this technology is available because suddenly we weren't able to do the same things that we were doing before and meeting in person like we were before. So I think there are many different ways to shift and like benefit from the changes that were very uncomfortable at one point. And to me, like, I know Rashida feels this way, but motherhood has like really expanded my dharma, and it's really made me look at like the kind what I want my life to look like and what my family's life to look like. And then like I've had a lot of fun figuring that out and like how do we do this? And I have a lot of that coming ahead too, and I'm sure things will have to shift and change.
I was thinking that in a conversation we had all had last month, in regards to Dharma and soul purpose and things like that. And the things that came to mind were all my son. Like, and at the end of the day, I really boiled down to if the greatest gift that I ever give this world is him, sorry. Like, that's okay and that's good. And it's so humbling, but it's also such like a peaceful feeling of like, this is my offering. He is my offering.
I feel that. I think we're all crying right now, just for anyone listening.
You couldn't tell.
That's beautiful.
I want to add to that, Melody, that your teaching, like what you're offering to your students and in your work, is so much richer due to him and due to all the challenges that you've come up with the last few years. Like what a rich place to teach from. That's where wisdom comes from. It doesn't come from like sailing through life in an easy way. Like it comes from the hard stuff and you're in it. This is the fertile soil
It
for wisdom to
is.
grow.
It is. It's true. And I even think about that in regards to like my hip pain and SI pain that like, you know, I intellectually knew that was of discomfort to people, but I had just never experienced physical discomfort in this way on a day-to-day basis. And it's really humbling, but it is also really helping my teaching to understand that like, oh no, child's pose sucks sometimes. Like, this isn't easy. This doesn't feel great all the time. How can I make it feel better? And while I knew all those things and I could speak to all those things because I understood the anatomy of it before, experiencing it is offering me a much greater sense of empathy and understanding and a new language to speak to it all.
I feel that so much. Right? I went to school for a long time to be able to be a massage therapist, and you know, they talked about sciatic pain, and I was like, okay, that kind of sucks, right? That sucks.
That sounds
That sounds like it hurts. And then you get pregnant, and then all the stuff shifts and changes, and you're like about to drop to your knees because this pain is so bad. You know, it's different. And I feel like there's a lesson in that too. We can take the courses and get the teachings, but until we sometimes actually get in it, you know, we don't know. And then once we're in it, we can speak from that place of, okay, now I'm in it. I'm working through it. I'm figuring this out. How can I use this to serve others as well?
And I think it allows your students and the people you're connecting with to have a greater faith and trust in you, knowing that you've been there or you are there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't think we were going to necessarily heal your SI in an hour, but I did want to start there.
A little bit.
I just feel like the body has so much information for us, right? And, you know, for anyone listening, if you're not sure where to start, start there. You'll learn so much. So, Melody, we'd love to know, what are your biggest takeaways from our conversation today?
I think just kind of like we spoke to, that everything I need to know, I already know. And that I have to give myself the space and the quiet and the time to relearn it.
Yeah. I want to add, although it's not your takeaway, but the trust in yourself and your inner voice to guide you too.
Relearning.
Because it's one thing to have the tools inside you. It's another thing to wield them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling complete here. I feel like we've got, I feel like I got what I needed after the conversation too. It was very cathartic for me. Rashida, anything to add?
I feel complete.
Okay.
Melody?
No, I feel complete. And I feel filled with so much gratitude for the two of you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Melody, I just want to thank you so much for opening yourself up vulnerably in a public way, because we have millions of listeners.
I know.
That we are manifesting. And
exactly.
And we're super grateful for you stepping forward to talk about some real stuff that I know not only we can identify with, but hopefully a lot of others as well. And by being open, you're giving people permission to process these things as well and to do the same. So I'm super grateful for this conversation. And for you, and for you, Rashida, you always come through with the big insights. I can always count on that. Maybe we can end today with a quick little integrative meditation. Will that work for everybody?
Absolutely.
I'd love that.
Okay. So let's sit nice and tall and soften or close the eyes. You can do this too if you're listening at home. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. And place your hands maybe on your womb space or on the back, on the SI. And take a few deep breaths, really filling that space up as you inhale. And letting it soften as you exhale. And let this deep breath, both the inhale and the exhale, be a reminder of both the need to give and to receive, of that reciprocal relationship of doing and being, of effort and ease. And they're working together by letting the natural cycle flow, there is integration.
There is a natural rhythm, a natural pace, and Melody, you are exactly where you need to be. You have everything inside of you that you need. And if you ever feel lost, you can ask your body what she needs. You can reach out to a bestie for an ear. And you can trust in knowing that you are so powerful. And that although there are so many changes in life, what is most true, most real is that you are a goddess, that you are a beautiful soul on this earth. And just by being you, and whatever that looks like outwardly, you are affecting positive change. You are vibrating so much love into this world. You are deserving of receiving because you give so much just by being you. We'll release with a cleansing breath in through the nose and out of the mouth. All right.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Thank you, Melody, for being so vulnerable and open with us. And we cannot wait to connect with you soon, see your journey. And everyone listening, please show Melody some love on our Instagram page. And any tips or tricks, mamas, that you might have that would help with this as well would be appreciated. So much love to you, Melody. And Lauren, thank you so much for your guidance today. And we will connect soon.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.